So I have a question for you. Why do smart people do stupid things? Isn't it amazing sometimes to see people that you know that they know that they know? And they do it anyway. We all live with some regrets. Some events, some decisions that we went through that seemed acceptable at the time, maybe even seemed good at the time. And right now, they're a disaster. And you look at that, and that might be your finances, that might mean a past marriage, that might mean a habit that you have never got control of. But it leaves us with memories. It leaves us with scars that we don't like, with pain that we're still struggling to process. And you know, it's how did I get here? Have you ever wondered about that? You know, this is not where I wanted to be. How did I end up here? And it's not exactly accidental. Now, I mean, there are some circumstances that come into life that are beyond your control. You know, earthquake, famine, disease. There are things that happen to you that accidents that you had no control over. But a lot of times, I'm wrestling with consequences in my life based on the path I chose to walk. Do you know what I'm talking about? And somehow we think we can do something and get away with it. Why do we think that? You know, I'm happy to be standing up this morning because several days this week I was in the fetal position from pain because I did something that I knew was risky behavior for my condition with my back. And, you know, there was a cord of wood that needed to be put away, and somebody needs to get that done. And so my son and I were working on that. And then in the process, all of a sudden you feel that little ding. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I can hear the laughter of identification. You know, and right there, you know, okay, I've done something I shouldn't do. Now the logical thing, when you know you've done something you shouldn't do, when you know you've made a turn that you shouldn't have made, is to turn around. But why do we then, for me, then I'll just get a little more of this done. And so on the injury, you keep adding the pain. And then the next day, you're like, wow, what's that? It's the path that you took. You don't wake up and go, how could it be? My back hurts today. No, I took a path that said back hurts. I mean, I didn't read that on there, but it was there. And you know, you've got a something hurts path that you're on. Do you know what I'm talking about? And there's those kind of choices. And when we talk about having a God time, your God time is going to give you the opportunity to recognize the path that you're on and invite you towards a different path. We were talking about that idea of hiding from God. If you want to move out of the hiding spot, then you're going to have to let God reveal some things to you. And then you've got to trust the truth. You've got to come to a spot where you say, okay, I know what's true. I am fully informed. But now will I allow that to have an impact? And so that's what I want to talk about today is how we let God, how we walk with God and let that happen, where that which we know to be true becomes true in our experience, becomes true in our lifestyle. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be talking about trusting truth. Because there is a hope that God has for us in the promises that he has made for us that you can handle the storms of life if you follow his commands. It's not that storms won't come. Some people want that kind of a Christianity. It's not in my Bible. My Bible promises storms come. It's how we handle the storms that come. We all go through the seasons of the year, particularly around here. And so trusting truth through the seasons that you're in is a key ingredient. All right? So let's look at this. I'm just going to walk through today three different passages that will expose your mind to what does it mean to trust the truth? Because you can know it and not trust it very easily. And so Jesus was speaking, and here's what he said, very subtly. Well, maybe not so subtly. Therefore, verse 24 of Matthew 7, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Everyone. There is no exception clauses in Scripture for us, friends. We try to write them for ourselves all the time. But he says, everyone who hears and acts, everyone who hears and doesn't act, the same principle is going to hit them. His word is truth. Will I trust what the truth declares? That's the choice you face every time you come to the Bible. Every time you get up and think, will I trust what the truth says? Will I do what I know is true? Will I respond? But here's the interesting thing. The storms of life are going to come for you if you do what's true. The storms of life are going to come for you when you don't do what's true. Okay, so there's the good news. It's coming. All right? And you know it's coming, and I know it's coming. But here's the principle. Trusting the truth that Jesus declares determines your destiny. See, it's what you do with truth that determines what's going to happen in your life. You and I have a hand in your destiny. You get to pick the path that you're going to walk out. Now, he says, everyone who does this path, this happens. And what's that? If you choose to act, he declares this truth. Understand this. Excuse me. Get ahead of myself. He declares the truth that we're to trust. We don't get to invent our own truth. We've got a culture trying to do that right now. How's it working for them? You know? We're just continuing to see the cycle that we're on. And it's just, it's like, you know, really? I don't know if you ever think that. Sometimes you listen to a politician or you listen to someone and you go, really? But he tells us what is true because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. God's word is the truth. All right? And so that's what you're going to trust with your life, is trust your life to truth. You got people in your life you can't trust, don't you? We all got some of those. You want to believe them, but you can't trust them. And that is not wrong. That's called wise. All right? There's some people you shouldn't trust. That's just not right. But when it comes to God, where are we? See, he says, if you hear these words of, what did he say? Mine. Jesus' word. He says, if you hear my word, and you act upon it, what? Choosing to act equals wise. That's what he says. You choose to act on my word, that makes you wise. All right? But if you fail to act, that equals foolish. Now, that's just basic, friends, but this is a basic principle that we continue to reject. Because I don't think any of us get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'd like to see how foolish I could be today. No. I mean, there's times when I find myself entertainingly stupid, but I'm not trying. You know, some of us get there without even working at it, you know? But he says, hear me, friends. Listening is not enough. Jesus says, everyone who hears and acts. Scary, scary thing. It's been bugging my heart here lately, is I think even the whole American cultural example of how we've done Christianity, we are discipling you to be a listener. Just come and sit and listen some more and listen some more. If you don't walk out of here with the decision to do, you walk out of here deceived. Even though you were sitting in truth for an hour. You can still walk out deceived. So it's a scary thing. But he said what? That you can be wise. You can be foolish. Romans 12 talks about that great principle. He says, therefore, based on the mercies of God, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Right? But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You and I can be transformed by truth, but hear me, it's not by hearing. Truth transforms you by doing. It's what you do with it. Obeying the truth that Jesus declares demonstrates trust. That's what it is. It'll take you to a different level. It will do something for you, you know? Think about it this way. Some of you got some different weight equipment around your house, don't you? Some of it's got dust on it. You know what I'm talking about. I can look at this all day long. That is a nice little barbell. That has the potential to exercise my muscles. That could really benefit me. That's good. But there's nothing happening in my body right now because of that, is there? No. Because I have to do something with it. You have to exercise if you're going to build muscle. It is not enough to know that you need an exercise. It's not enough to read your exercises. Wouldn't it be nice if that's all? Just read 10 reps. Wow, I'm doing good today. 10 reps. Oh. Whew. Now that's so foolish when it comes to physical exercise. But then why are we idiots when it comes to the Word of God? You cannot just read it and have no doing and expect transformation. That's called foolish, not by me, by Jesus. He said, that'll make you a fool. And, by the way, it will lead to ruin, total destruction. I don't know about you, but ruin has a way of getting my attention. You know, the end of this road is destruction. Oh, I'd like to see that. No, destruction for you. Understand, this is personal. Everyone is under this principle. So what does it mean? We got to deal with it. James, the brother of Jesus, talks about it in James chapter 1. Why don't you show me over there? James chapter 1. Where he puts it succinctly, accurately, it's the word of God. This is precise truth. Therefore, verse 21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It's able to save your souls. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. This could have eternal benefits. This affects eternal destiny. So what does he say? If you're going to be a person who's going to have God time, understand this, you're going to have to deal with what you've been doing some of the other time. Some people wonder, you know, why they can't get up on Sunday morning. Well, deal with it on Saturday night. It will change Sunday morning. All right? If you want to say, how come I'm not getting in the Word? It's because I'm feeding on something else. It's not necessarily that what you're feeding on is evil. It just fills you up and you have no hunger for that which is excellent. What did he say? Put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Man, God's picky. Ever feel like that to you? Why couldn't he just say, put aside most. Deal with some. Wipe part of your feet when you come in the house. Is that right? No, he says, put aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness. Friends, it is God's intention for you and I to fully deal with this life, and we've settled short again and again and again. And I just want to stir us up to say, that's not really where he wants you to be. You have parked somewhere along the path and said, far enough? And I'm here to tell you, he says, not so. It's not far enough to bless you the way God wants to bless you, and it's not far enough for you to have the impact that God wants to have through your life. You can settle with that attitude if you want, but that's not the attitude he called you to have. That's not the habit he called you to have. Are you going to say, that needs to go? Or are you going to say, no, you can stay. We're not going to deal with that again. He says, put it aside. Friends, sin will affect your attitude towards the Bible. I can remember hearing it when I was a kid. Somebody said it nicely then, and it still works today. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Somebody's going to have to give here. You can't go both ways. And so he says here, put it all aside. If you want to grow a garden, you know what? You have to weed it to get the soil ready. You have to prepare the soil to receive it. And so that's what he's saying here. And I'm speaking this to you in the specific context of your God time. You say, boy, I wish I had a better time than prepare the soil. We talked about that idea. Quit hiding. Begin confessing. Deal with some of this stuff that's interfering so that you can walk farther. So he says, lay aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness, and then in humility receive the word implanting. What's humility have to do with it? He keeps bringing that up all the way through the Bible. Be humble, be humble. Don't be proud, be humble. Why does he keep bringing that up? Because humility affects our reception and our response to truth. Some of you may have to go back several decades in your life. But when you were 16 and knew it all, and you remember how much your parents didn't know and didn't understand how life was, that, my friends, is the definition of pride. You think you know when you don't even know at all. And you can look at, or some of you live with, that person who's entering that process of life, right? And know they ain't got a clue. They just don't. And it's not their fault. They haven't lived long enough to know that they don't have a clue. But the problem is that leads to poor judgment, because judgment comes from what? Experience. And they haven't had it. So you haven't had the experience. So you're going to make foolish decisions. So you look at that and say, you know, they approach it what? They approach it proud, as though they know. And you can look at those situations and go, that's so dumb. So let me talk to some spiritual adolescents here. Have you been where you're going yet? I don't think so, unless you're doing loops. And we're hoping that you're not doing circles. That's not the plan. So if you haven't been where you're going yet, then you and I are adolescents in the kingdom of God. We're someone who hasn't been there yet, and we need what? Humility. As God, Father, I've never been here before. Would you tell me what I need to do? Oh, man. Some of you to give your kids $100 if they'd ever told you that. Father, I don't know what I need to do. Would you just tell me what I need to do? You'd have just pulled out $100 right on the spot. It made you feel you're so good. You say, wow, that's amazing. They've never said that. What do you want? Try it with your Heavenly Father. We're going to be talking about that next week, these conversations that He invites us to have. But friends, humility affects us. Why? Because humility helps me recognize I don't yet know what I need to know. And I don't even know what I need to know about God yet. I know more than I used to know. But I'm still feeling like a child. And I know more about life than I used to know. You know, it's funny. You move into that grand parenthood and you kind of go, whoa. You do see it a little different from this side. You know, you're, but there's still so much I don't know. Therefore, the truth is I'm needy. Go ahead. Can you tell the person next to that? Go ahead. Humble yourself. Tell the person next to you. The truth is I'm needy. Okay? And when you start every day, what we need to start with is say, the truth is I'm needy of the truth. That's what the truth is. The truth is I'm needy of the truth. And if I can get up and go through the day and say I really didn't need to read my Bible today, I call that arrogant. I call that proud, saying I don't need directions today because I know everything that's going to happen today and I already know how to handle it all and I'm going to do what's right because that's who I am. Who's that? Do you know anybody like that? I'm going to get up saying, oh God, I have no idea what you're up to today, but I want to walk it out with you. So please, just give me what I need as I get into the Word, because I saw yesterday and I don't want to live like that today. Does that sound like what we're talking about? That's the attitude I want us to have towards the Word of God. And so he says what? He says, receive, did you see that here? The Word implanted. It says, in humility, receive the Word implanted. There is a choice of your heart of whether or not you receive the Word. We can come to church and listen. I'm here. I'm listening. But listening doesn't mean what? You're receiving. And just because you cross your arms doesn't mean you're not listening. You can sit here and look very receptive, can't we? You know, if you've been in church for a while, you even learned how to look interested. Sorry to say some of you haven't. But the fact of the matter is, he's inviting you to receive it. And I think about this. And when you think about what people went through so we could have this book, and I don't have the time to open it or to really get past hearing it, really? I'm deceived. I've got a problem. And he says that back up here, verse 16, he says, do not be deceived. If God tells you not to, what do you know? That's the tendency. All the do nots in Scripture are your tendencies. That's why they're there. Do not, it's because there's a tendency. He wouldn't say it if you didn't do that. Look what he says. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. If you have prepared the soil to receive the seed, you prepare your heart to receive the truth, there's the potential for your soul to be impacted. Now, we have a tendency to think saved soul means what? That's eternity. That's somewhere when I die, it'll be safe. True enough, but not all true. Saving your soul is now, friends. He gives us life that's for now. And you can save your soul from some of the garbage you're putting your soul through. Remember when we read about Lot. And it says that man's soul was tormented day after day. Why? Because he took a path and he put himself in a place where he'd be tormented. That's what he did to himself. And we can do that to ourselves. He says, don't do that. Take in the truth. Receive the truth. It'll save your soul. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what? Don't do what I say. He says, that's stupid. I mean, that's a loose translation, but. What does he say? 22. James 1:22. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. You can deceive yourself. Why do we do what we do when we know better? Because we lie to ourselves. We do. We say, oh, I think I need just a little more. This really won't matter. Nobody else will notice. This is okay. You have a whole set of excuses, reasons, rationalizations that you have developed that's allowing you to stay in sin. And it's called deception. Because if you call this poison, death, pain, agony, the next thing wouldn't be, would it? You wouldn't be slurping that down if that was what you called it. But when you call it sweet goodness and satisfaction and fulfillment and peace, no, it's not. It's deception. It'll destroy you. Andy Stanley, in his book, the Principle of the Path, great book I'm reading right now. He says, we are all lying salesmen, telling ourselves what we want to hear so we can get what we want. Oh, I bought this new car. It gets better gas mileage. Okay, friends, it may get better gas mileage. We're not arguing about that, but $20,000 extra dollars that you spent, that wasn't gas money, of course, it was car money, but we come up with all sorts of excuses to rationalize the choices that we choose. Do you know what I'm talking about? You will have something to explain why you do what you do, but it's not the reason why you're doing what you're doing. Am I making any sense? Okay, all right. I'm preaching at me, you guys just get a listen, okay? So what does he say? Prove yourselves doers of the word. That you do something with the word. Every time you get into the word, that you're going to do something with that. And don't be just a hearer of the word. Friends, what am I saying? Humility is going to affect that this reception issue. It's going to affect your response issue. All right? And when you come to the word, understand this truth of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9. Read this with me. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Is that the truth? Yeah, that's the truth. And you get done doing something, you go, really? I don't understand that. Uh-huh. That's because it's deceitful. It's interesting. It doesn't just say it's dishonest. We all know people that are dishonest, but they don't fool you. But then you've had other people, they were deceitful. You know what I'm talking about? They presented that in such a way that you believed it. You were taken in by it. He says your heart can take you in to sin and make you think you're walking right. That's a scary world. That's a scary world. That's why we need to stay in the Word of God. Because I've got a deceitful heart. And, you know, hey, I don't have to be in church every Sunday. I don't have to read my Bible every day. I don't have to do any of those things, do I? I don't have to. It's just when I don't, then I've started down the path. See, I have to understand, those choices take you somewhere. Your choices are not unrelated to your experiences. That's the great American deception. We think we can eat like we eat and look like something else. No, don't work that way. Somebody said, if you gain fat on your forehead, you'd eat differently. Just go ahead and think about that. Okay, yeah, give me a little more dinner. Sorry. I don't know where that came from. We give excuses to ourselves about all these different choices that we make. And yet James said what? The one who knows the right thing to do, doesn't do it, has sin again. I'm here to tell you, I think we have a bigger sin problem than we think. Turn me to the book of Proverbs. So what are we going to do about it? He tells you here you're supposed to do it. How do you move from knowing what you're supposed to do to doing what you're supposed to do? Because I don't think I've probably told you anything you didn't know yet. You know, I know I'm supposed to do that. I know I'm supposed to do that. But why is it that I'm not doing what I know I'm supposed to do? Well, I don't think it gets any better than Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Isn't that an amazing promise? And yet there's an explanation of how we've got here. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What did we just say about the heart a minute ago? Deceitful. So I have to deal with my heart issue if I'm going to change. I can fill my head up, and I have friends. I've been doing it for years. But what I find is you can fill the head and still not let it transform the heart. You can miss the truth by 18 inches. That's kind of sad. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He does not say here, read your Bible occasionally. He does not say frequently. He did not say, do some of this. He says, trust him with all your heart. Here's the key I'm trying to drive at the whole day. I hope you'll hear me. Truth that is trusted transforms those who trust him. Truth that is trusted transforms those who trust him. We're not talking about just trusting a page here, friends. I'm talking about trusting the person who gave us the page. This is not about reading some rules and trying to follow them. This is about hearing from God and agreeing to walk with him. When he says, I want to go this way in your marriage, and you say, yes, Lord. That's what the book says. That's what I'm going to do. He says, I want to go this way with your finances. Let's get out of debt. We say, yes, Lord. There's a choice when I hear what he says that I will trust it. It's not enough to be aware of the facts. It's not enough even to agree with the facts that you're aware of. We do that all the time. I know I shouldn't eat that much chocolate. I knew I shouldn't lift that size of a piece of wood. And I knew after I hurt my back, I shouldn't pick up more pieces of wood. But it's not enough to know what you know. It's what you do with what you know that transforms you. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, it's my response to God's revelation that determines my destiny. And some of you, this is so encouraging, and for others this is going to be depressing. But I'm here to tell you, anyway. It doesn't matter how badly you screwed up. If you start walking with him today, he will make your paths straight. If others of you, I have to tell you, it doesn't matter how much you keep pretending that you're walking. If you don't change the direction you're going to end up where you're headed. That you've already chosen a direction, and direction determines destination. What you do with what you know expresses what you believe. We don't want to say that, but it's the truth. Friends, how do we deal with this? Well, he gives us a little warning here. No, it's not a warning. It's a direct statement. Do not lean on your own understanding. What? That's un-American. Do not trust your own logic. Do not trust your own rationalizations. Trust God's revelations. Because we are not transformed by what we know, but by what we trust. And you can know what you trust by what you do. I think one of the saddest verses of Scripture is Hebrews 4:2. And in Hebrews 4:2, it says, the word of God did not profit them. Now, how could it be that the word of God did not profit them? Because it was not united with faith in those who heard. What was he talking about? The children of Israel. The people who had been through the Red Sea, the people who saw the pillar of fire, the people who lived with the cloud during the day, the people who'd seen the miracles of God, the people who were walking with God did not experience the profit God intended for them to have because their faith did not hold on to the truth. It didn't profit them. So the scariest thing to me is to think that you could have the Word of God in your house in six different translations, and it's not profiting you unless you're trusting it. Notice what it means to trust. He doesn't leave that up to our expectation or interpretation. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. God is really hung up on this all word. Have you ever noticed that? In all your ways. See, most of us have got some of our ways going the right way. But that is not enough for how much the Savior loves you. He says, I want all your ways to acknowledge me. All your ways to acknowledge me. Friends, total transformation requires total participation. You have to go into it with the willingness to embrace all of it. So here's the question. Remember we talked last week about hiding from God. What areas are you trying to hide from God and from man? What are those spots that you wouldn't say, oh, yeah, James, I'd like you to see this thing that I do. You know, what is it that you would not want put on the big screen on a Sunday morning? Who? No, we don't want to do that. You know, it's just, doesn't it astound you when you read the news sometimes? And it's just like, I just read one just the other day, and it said, well, we found 3,000 texts on this guy's phone to the women that he called after hours. On his company phone late into the night, and a married man, and he's no longer employed where he's employed. But really, what do you think? You think nobody is ever going to know that? You don't think that's ever going to come out? Do you think where you are, what you're involved in, is never going to come to the surface? That's called deception. That's the Bible says, be sure your truth will what? Find you out. So what is it, friends? I can't find them all for you, but I'm just going to walk you through some stuff. So, is it your anger? Or is it your alcohol? Is it your relationships? Or that relationship that's gone too far? Or is that food that you're partaking of too much? Is it that one more click that's taking you to porn? Is it that child that you're hurting? Is it that debt that you've rung up? Or that marriage that you're running down? What is it that you want to say, you know what, I just keep pretending this isn't happening, but it's happening. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge. If you'll acknowledge that to Him, if you'll bring that to Him, He will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You bring that to Him and say, I need to deal with this. And if you fear the Lord, you turn away from evil, I'm here to tell you, it'll be healing to your body. It's going to be refreshment to your bones. You see, only obeying Jesus demonstrates trust. Nothing else does. You have to obey Him. But He will make your path straight. But what I do with what I know reveals what I trust. I'm here to tell you, victory is available to us. I could not do this job unless I truly believe that that's the case. Friends, there is still stuff I'm still walking through, but what I've found is that when I bring my stuff to the Savior, He deals with it. Let Him. You don't have to know it all. This is really important. You don't have to know it all. You just have to do all that you know if you're going to mature. Quit deceiving yourself. Just do what you already know you need to do. Because our relationship with Jesus only grows through our response of trust. That's what's going to grow it. Nothing else will grow it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what we're talking about, trust. I'm using trust because faith tends to be this word that we put up here in our heads. And trust to me is depending on, relying on, holding on for dear life, saying, God, if you don't come through, I'm toast. This is all that's keeping me, is you and me. Friends, what are you doing to grow forward with Jesus? We talk about this, spending time with him. Some of you are not great readers. That's okay. You can listen. But have you even read the story of Jesus? You can pick up a daily Bible reading guide out there, and you say, I can't read all the way through the Bible. That's okay. Just read the Gospels. Just read the story of Jesus. If you say you're following Jesus and you've never read his story, you are deceived. All right? You're just not choosing to go there. But you can go. This is really simple on this blue one. You just go to the first column of the month. You start reading there. Don't worry about what day of the week it is. Just start marking each day as you start where you are. But just start reading from them, and you'll go through Matthew. And then you go over to the next first column. You go through Mark, through Luke, through John, and all of a sudden you'll know Jesus. You'll know who he is and what he's done. And if every time you read about Jesus, you do something he tells you to do, all of a sudden you and Jesus are going to have more of a relationship. That's how I do it. The Bible says, thy word I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin. We know hiding God's word in our heart, meditating on it, memorizing it, helps you hang on to truth. And you want those children being taught that next door, don't you? We want them memorizing scripture. What about the children over here? Are you memorizing scripture? We've got a plan for you to do that. We put a verse in your bulletin every month. Do you know how long have you been a believer? If you learned just one verse a month, how much truth would you have hidden in your heart? It's what you do with what you know that leads to transformation. Friends, where are you hiding? Bring it to God and trust him. Hasn't he always been worth it when you brought it to him? Has he ever not been enough when you really brought it back to him? You and I are on a path right now. Where's it going? Trusting the truth will transform you. And by the way, it also is extremely satisfying. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the truth that you have given us in your word, and we just want to respond to you and believe you from the heart. Lord, there's been some very direct things said today. I don't regret that a bit. I just want you to take us from the land of regret to the land of trust. Lord, as we sit here, there's an area that we have never conquered, that we, perhaps maybe only we, know about. Maybe somebody else has already talked to us about it. Maybe we've tried before. We want to bring that back to you and say, I trust you to renew me here. I trust you to transform me here. Show me what the truth is. Thank you for this living word that's so powerful. In Jesus' name.